just falls away. Fences auf Flux FM mit Like a Feather. 15 Uhr und 10 Minuten. Und Chris Mansfield, der Erfinder der Band Fences, er spielt heute Abend im schönen Cassiopeia und ist jetzt bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über die immer noch aktuelle EP To The Tall, Trembling Trees, die Ende 2016 erschienen ist. Wir finden heraus, wie es sich als frisch gebackener Family Man lebt. Wir sprechen über Musikhochschulen vielleicht, das Schreiben von Songs als Therapie und vieles mehr. Zunächst sage ich aber erstmal hallo und herzlich willkommen, Mr. Chris Mansfield.
Hello, how are you?
I'm totally fine, how are you doing today?
Fantastic.
How's touring been so far?
Great. We're on day two.
Okay.
I had a good nap in the car. Put on Infinite Jest audiobook, a novel by David Foster Wallace.
And wow.
I slept for 1 hour sitting straight up.
Wow.
And then I got here.
I mean, as long as you're not the driving one, it's with the sleeping thing. It's
I've
okay.
never driven in my life. So
you don't have a license, or
no, I never.
Me neither, man.
Yeah, really.
When I was 18, my family asked me, and they offered to pay the driver's license. I was like, no, there's too many cars around. I want to be like the environmental guy. You know,
yeah, same. Yeah,
cool.
I don't know many people like that. That's great.
Yeah, but now I'm thinking about making one. Actually,
I know. Now I want one too. Yeah.
Yeah. We could go make our driver's license together. Yeah, people will be shocked. Who are these old men there?
Exactly.
Well, congratulations again to the Tall Trembling Trees on your EP, To the Tall Trembling Trees. It's been put out in late 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different animal, kind of, when you compare it to previously recorded and released stuff. And I've read that you recorded the entire thing in your apartment at home.
We did it in my friend's apartment.
Oh, okay.
But we did do it, shockingly, the song you just heard. We did the whole thing in like 2 days.
Wow.
I don't know how we did it.
Uh-huh.
We started early, ended late, a lot of coffee, and just...
And you were well prepared, I guess, right?
We were prepared, yeah, and I played with really good musicians. Yeah. So my drummer, I think he did everything in one take. We were all trying to do like one takes,
cool.
You know, and we just... We went in knowing like... Let's get this done.
Okay, cool.
Let's just get this done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you left room for tiny mistakes and stuff on that record because it sounds as if you were not looking for a perfection kind of thing. You were looking for something that lives.
Yeah, we were. My favorite song on the record is Hunting Season, is song one. We did that song at 9 p.m. and the noise ordinance had to be done at 10.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 1 hour. So I sat in one room. I did the vocals in one take.
Wow.
While Lauren played piano. And it was beautiful because a lot of the stuff on that record, including the song Cedar Wesley, was one take.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to just really capture the urgency.
Yeah.
You know, because there was like a slight panic. We were panicking because
sure.
We're like, we have to hurry. We have to hurry.
That's so great, though.
Yeah, but it came across in the sound, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Some people say diamonds are made under pressure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, perfect.
And that fits in the music thing sometimes as well. Because
exactly.
Sometimes that's when the beauty happens. There's another thing that people say about music, and that's some hit singles or really cool songs that they just appear mm-hmm. to you, that you don't have to really... force yourself into the writing process, but a good song, sometimes it just appears. You start playing and you start thinking about lyrics and it's almost everything is already there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have experiences like that as well? Or are you one of the guys who concentrates on a song until it's finished and is not waiting for that special kind of self-written thing?
No, man. I'm so far into that zone. I've never spent more than 6 hours on a song.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote Arrows laying in bed.
Uh-huh.
And it took me about 15 minutes. Everything I write is quick. It's because I think it's almost like a exercise of like when people like freestyle, like rapping, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like rhyming, like the English language, words want to fall onto another words.
Yeah.
So if you start like a little bit of prose, it almost does write itself because there's only so many options for you
true.
To hit.
Yeah.
So it's like if you get out of your own way and you're open, you will just write this verse.
Yeah.
You know, and the music language, which is a lot like the English language, chords, there's certain chords in order that make
chord progressions. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, sure, that's true.
So once you go, you say, okay, well, I'm C, G, A minor, and then I'm on a certain rhyme scheme. And then you go, okay, when I hit the chorus, I have to go to F.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So it's like, once you start to understand the language, you do quite literally write songs, they just spill out, you know? And it's not some sort of like statement of like...
But it's interesting that, especially Arrows, because it was a huge hit, and that song was written in 15 minutes, and it has such a deepness, and you know, there's so many things that you learn about yourself, and then the rhyme and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And Macklemore. But it's interesting, and I really think that's... an interesting thing about music, that it's still magical. No one knows where that shit is coming from. Mm-hmm. You studied music. You were a professionally trained musician. But these things, no one can teach you to be open-minded and to just go for it when like an idea is there and starts.
No, it's I heard about this Philip Glass. Mm-hmm. You know Philip Glass?
Sure.
He talked about music as being underground rivers.
Oh wow!
That he was he's like, I can just dig holes to these, but they're already there. And when I heard that, I was like, man, that's so true. Like, that's beautiful. It's like you don't really denounce yourself or take away your work, but you say, well, I'm the digger, but I'm not the river.
But there's another interesting opposite to other people who say, the songs, they're floating around in the sky. You know, it's a different thing if they're floating around, or if you have to dig for them.
Right.
I think that picture,
think
or
the
that
dig
metaphor,
is better.
It's more appropriate.
It's better because it's more, you have to work.
Yeah.
They don't just come to you. No way. Yeah.
Now you've brought your acoustic guitar with you. And before we talk a little bit more, I want you to play us a little song.
Sure.
So can people get into the mood for tonight's show, because it's going to be you alone on stage
at Cassiopeia
tonight, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, we got a camera woman in here. You want me to start the camera? Oh, thanks a lot. How does it even start? No, you have to do it. You're the camera woman, I'm the radio man. Let's keep it that way. Constanze hat die Kamera gestartet. Kamera 1 läuft. Kamera 2 läuft auch gleich. Der Ton läuft schon. Which song are we going to be listening to?
The song's called The Mission. I wrote it like maybe 6 days ago.
So it's a world radio premiere?
It definitely is, yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Chris.
How'd it come so far to do it?
And now I am standing alone at the top of your hill, with no one to meet me and no one to pick up the bill. And I guess that my drinking has become a form of religion. And I pray to it nightly on knees like a devoted Christian. And now I am a no one. And now I am a no one. And you are the river, but baby, you know I can't swim. You run through me coldly, through mountains, through trees and through hills. And I guess that my drinking has become a form of a prison. And next to a veteran I lay on a cot in a mission. And now I am a no one. And now I am a no one.
Wow, steady steam applause for that little song. That was great.
Thank you.
And I like there's two metaphors in there with the religion and the army thing. Are both really nice that you're praying to the to the religiously.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's a sad fucking song, but it's a good fucking song.
Pretty sad. Yeah.
A combination that happens more often than people think. Now I've read about plans for an autobiography. I've read about that plans to write.
Yeah, I've been writing. I've been writing a lot. I'm such a fan of writers. I'm more of a fan of writers than musicians. People always ask me, what do you listen to? I listen to a lot of audiobooks. Like, I feel like words, the flow of words and stuff, is more musical to me than tones. At least, personally, I find it more inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, like...
there's definitely a rhythm to a good novel.
There's a rhythm.
Yeah, there's... There's
definitely a rhythm.
You can enjoy the story much better when there's a certain rhythm to it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, where is there a comma? How long are the sentences? It feels like music.
Yeah.
And that's... It's less, like, exhausting than hearing someone else's, like, idea of, like, here's a melody and here's my big chorus.
Yeah.
I'd rather listen to, you know, I don't know, Treasure Island audiobook all night. Like, I get more inspired by that. Like, the music of, like, you know, language is far more beautiful.
And if you have a good guy on the microphone, a good actor who kind of, like, feels the rhythm of the book, that really is something, right?
I've thought of that a lot. I'm like, who is this guy? And how, like, I mean, I have a, my Infinite Jest audiobook is 37 hours long. And I'm like, how long did that, that take him like a year?
Yeah.
Like, because I can talk for maybe 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
Right?
And then your voice cracks.
Yeah. So it's crazy. But no, I listen to more of that stuff. I forgot the question, but it's okay. Yeah.
No, I was just asking you about the fact that... it's not talk about that anymore. Let's have another question right here.
Yeah, sure.
There's so many prejudices about the record industry, especially when it comes to major companies. You know, everybody knows a little story about them, how they treat artists wrongly,
right.
How they interfere with the music or the art itself. Mm-hmm. Now, you've kind of turned your back to the major industry a few years ago, Arrows in 2014, all that stuff was put out on major companies. How do you feel about that? Are some of the prejudices true, or were the reasons for you to go in another direction entirely different and did have nothing to do with the industry approach?
Well, I mean, the funny thing is that, like, every major label, they're still just people.
Yeah.
So at Atlantic and Warner, there were people there that were amazing people, just normal people, really people that I trust and loved. So I couldn't necessarily, like, you know, encapsulate that world as like an evil world because there's nice people that work there. For me, it was more of a thing to where I think they just wanted the Macklemore thing.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So, like, would I just played, like, would they want that? Like, no. Would Atlantic put out that song?
There's got to be a beat to it.
There's no way.
Got to be a space for a rapper or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's sad and it's true. And I have a lot of friends at those companies, and it's not a slight to them. I think it's just business.
Yeah.
It's just business.
Yeah.
You can't sell, you can't really sell what I do in a large scale, and that's okay.
Yeah, but I think it was a wise decision for you to go your own way because there's nothing worse than to fail with something that someone else has invented for you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's much better to fail with your own stuff because then you can look back and say, it's been my own. You know, I'm responsible for that music. I'm responsible for the lyrics, responsible for all that shit. So if I fail with it, it's good. It's still mine. No one can take it away from me. But I mean, imagine someone co-writing your stuff and then you fail with it and everybody says, Fences, I mean, they used to be good, but now they're shitty. And it wasn't even your fault. That's the worst thing that could happen.
We tried. They sent us to co-writing sessions with guys who wrote for huge pop stars.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking like the Katy Perrys and the Rihannas and for real. And I walked out of these sessions.
Yeah.
And my manager was like, you know, man, like, what's wrong with you? Do you really want to do this? And I'm like, yeah, I do, but like, I just wasn't feeling that.
Yeah.
I just wasn't feeling it. Yeah. And it was like, I respected the writers and like, it's cool. And I wasn't trying to be like a prude or an asshole, but I wasn't feeling it.
Writing an honest song is something that has to do with your own soul and with your way to articulate. And it has to do with a lot of trust if you want to write with someone else, right? Right. Because you have to open up.
Right.
You have to really open up. And then you have to be open for critics as well. You know, you have to be cool with the guy saying, oh, I don't like the chorus yet. Maybe we have to work on that. There's got to be so much trust if you want to work on that level with someone.
Hard, and it was hard. And when the goal becomes the chorus, like how does the chorus feel?
Yeah.
That feels weird because for me, I mean, that song I just played, I don't even know if there is a chorus. Kind of. I mean, it's like, I don't care. It's more like, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, say what I want to say.
Yeah.
And like invoke what I want to invoke. And yeah, it's like, yeah, maybe I could go become a millionaire. I have friends who are millionaires and they're miserable. So I don't really care.
Another good thing that you've kind of like, that you've seen already in your life. Because I've seen people like that too, who made millions and they're unhappier than before most of the times.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of money. It's not the way to get happy.
No, of course not.
Yeah. Now you've prepared another song for us. Which song is it going to be? Is it going to be as brand new as the one we've listened to before?
Yeah, this one's maybe like a week. No. What do I do? I wrote this for a woman that I fell in love with like 8 months ago.
Okay.
It was okay?
Okay. I don't know if that was okay, but I mean, you can play that song now.
Yeah. Probably wasn't okay.
I'm sorry, don't want to get into the morals.
And you're a mother of two, and I try to be a good father too. I lose my mind when talking to you, and I don't know why that's a lie. Yes, I do. Guess that I don't know you, but that's fine, 'cause I think that strangers are cool. In time you'll find that I'm bad for you, and in time you'll find it's true. So are you. And life is harder in tune when you find common lines that run through the news. I'd use your hands if the rope was too loose, and die with a smile on cold tile next to you. We both sing the same blues, different houses and spouses, but similar views. I'd learn to dance if you'd stand on my shoes. I can't, you're a wife, 'cause you smiled, said I do. I do. Okay.
Chris, thanks a lot for playing those songs and for visiting us here at Flux FM. Have great
it's been
fun
a pleasure.
At tonight's show. You're going to be on stage at Cassiopeia, and you're going to play solo. What are your next steps? What are the next plans? Because, I mean, the EP has been out for a while. You're constantly writing music, so I think the catalog of new songs is filled already. You could probably enter your friend's apartment or a studio.
I could make a 2 to 3 records.
Do you have plans to do that, or are you concentrating on...
I do. This sounds crazy, but after tour, I'm going to go... do you know Noah Levine? He wrote Dharma Punks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go stay at his Buddhist compound for 3 months
wow.
in L.A., and I'm going to find my center, Wow. And I'm going to record a record.
With sitars and stuff.
No. Well, no. Well, it's funny. No, that's hilarious. Yeah, unless I go, somebody owns. But no, I'm just going to go there for personal reasons and just like find my, you know, get my shit together.
Cool.
And then put all these songs onto a record. I think I want to do an acoustic record. So yeah, I'll probably start recording it in like right when I get out of there.
Cool. Yeah. I want to wish you the best of luck for the recording process, but for the Buddhist temple as well.
Thank you.
It's an important part of your life.
Yeah.
Finding your inner strength, your inner core, maybe.
You need to.
Yeah, you need to. And I wish you the best of luck for that too.
Thank you.
And I want to invite you back to this very studio as soon as you come back to Germany.
I would love it.
You know where we are. You just visit us. Don't even ask before. You just come in
just
here.
Just come in. Okay.
Kick out the other musician who's sitting on that very spot.
Thank you very much.
Chris, thank you. No problem.
Yeah, very fun.
Heute Abend spielt er im Cassiopeia, Chris Mansfield, als Fences. Und wer Tickets haben möchte, der kann jetzt noch schnell anrufen unter der 030-2000-9000. Berlin 2000-9000. Das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Fans ist heute Abend im Cassiopeia solo mit der Akustikgitarre. Chris, once again, thank you. See you soon. Yeah, bye bye.
Absolutely. Bye. I'm expressing with my full capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities.